This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we have reached the end of 2020 as we welcome in 2021. We've got some business Friday, the college football semifinals. It's Alabama, it's Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, and then, you know, we'll get the national championship game. And this is what we wanted, and this is what we're going to get. We still had some bowl games, though, to have. We didn't get a full schedule, of course, and many bowl games were canceled nearly at the last minute. But in the end, we got a few of them. Last night, we had the Cotton Bowl. Oklahoma routed Florida. I mean, just routed them. 55-20. This was a close game in the second quarter. It was 17-14. And then Oklahoma just casually ripped off 38 straight points to complete this blowout. But after the game, Dan Mullen, who's the head coach at Florida, just wanted to remind you that, you know, we shouldn't have even played this game. We had so many opt-outs. We were actually under the numbers. So, we played anyway. Now, look, it's red meat to the alumni. It's red meat to the fans. It's, here you go, guys. Now you don't have to worry when that Oklahoma fan that's in your family rips you for losing this game. Or you don't have to feel embarrassed anymore that we lost by 35 points. We shouldn't have even played. We didn't even have enough players. We barely had a roster together. And, you know, this is what happens when you go out there anyway, when you shouldn't have even been out there in the first place. I think this is despicable. I wish he never said this. He could have just gotten away with simply, you know what? We lost. It's time to move on to 2021. Nobody really cared about the Cotton Bowl anyway. No one's going to lose their job losing the Cotton Bowl. It's a COVID year. Teams are up and down. The Sooners took it personal when there were a couple of shots at them by Gator players who didn't feel the Sooners were on their level of SEC, you know, play. It's one half dozen or the other with the reason why this game went the way it did. Kyle Trask didn't have a good game. Didn't have anybody to throw to, but he didn't have a good game. And the reality of it is, that's what it is. And for Mullen to just sort of kind of toss water on Oklahoma's celebration, like, well, we really should have just canceled. I don't think it does anybody any good. It doesn't make him look good. It doesn't make Florida look good. And in the end, it takes away from a good game by Oklahoma. This is still in the books as a win over an SEC team the way it was, even if circumstances may have been different this year than in previous years. We'll go over the NFL schedule next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1988, we go back to the fog game in Chicago, Bears-Eagles. Vern Lundquist on the call with Terry Bradshaw. No one could see anything. Bears won 20-12. And the Eagles, despite throwing for 400 yards, Randall Cunningham, they had to settle for 4 field goals in this game. This is the Bengals. This is a remake of the Simon and Garfunkel song. This is actually good. It's from the movie Less Than Zero, starring Robert Downey Jr.
Who?
Bet you didn't know that. Yeah. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. plays kind of a drugged out guy. He's got some friends that are trying to, like, save him, if I remember the movie correctly.
So it was an autobiography role at the moment, right, at that time, right?
Who, if you saw that in 88, who would have thought that guy would have been one of the major Hollywood actors 20, 30 years later?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? So there we go. By the way, before we get to the NFL schedule, and we're going to go through it game by game to tell you what you'll like and what you won't like, time to tell you about Friol Deep Penetrating Oil. Industrial strength Friol spreads deep into rusted and frozen parts, and it frees them with ease. The three-part formula delivers 3 times more lubricant, and it takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. So if you got stuck ball joints, you got rusted nuts and bolts, rusted machine screws, axle nut removal, Friol is the item you need because it's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. And it's available at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, auto parts stores everywhere. Give it a try. It's Friol deep penetrating oil. All right, let's get going with the schedule. Week 17, we've done this every week throughout the season. Tell you what to like and dislike from this schedule. We'll start off in Buffalo where the Bills will take on the Miami Dolphins. A very, very important game for Miami as they are 10-5, one of the group of 10-5 teams that are trying to make the playoffs. Buffalo can secure the 2 seed with a win, or doesn't matter what happens to them, a Pittsburgh loss would also give them the 2 seed. Now, the 2 seed doesn't give you the bye like it used to, but it's still the 2 seed, and that's something left to play for. Forget all that for a second. This is a good game between two teams that have been dying for this opportunity for 20 years.
Yeah.
To play a meaningful playoff game, a playoff-like game, for some context of leading the division. So good for both of them.
One team is already in, and we could have, you know, we could have the Bills breaking the Dolphins' hearts.
That's right.
Too. That's always fun to watch.
That's right. Absolutely.
And obviously, they got the okay. So Bills Mafia will be in attendance.
Yep. The limited number of fans will, but New York was one of those states where it was like, no, it ain't going down. So other places can have it, but not here. Yeah. And this is, they're going
to
allow
you. Buffalo was like, oh, we got to.
Come on. We're in the playoffs. We don't do this very often.
Besides, this is going to be like, you know, 500 feet of snow.
That's right. Yeah, if it is a storm, are they going to be able to do that thing where fans bring their shovels like they, you know, like they do at Lambeau 2, where it's like,
I don't know,
shovel it away for us. Please,
I'm just
please.
Wanting to see some tables.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Meet their end.
Cincinnati at Baltimore. Ravens are still vying for a playoff spot too, although they're a little bit more secure, I think, based on some tiebreakers.
But don't you feel like this is like, here you go, Ravens, just go ahead and go in.
Yeah, go in, because this is the Bengals.
Doors open.
Yeah, it's your chance to finish out. Bengals are on a 4-game win streak after they lost 3 in a row and looked like garbage. Remember Lamar Jackson had COVID and they didn't play particularly well, and you know, they were losing, and it was like, uh-oh, what's happening to Baltimore? Well, they've turned it around and have won 4 straight. And again, part of the group of 10-5 teams, they're still trying to make the playoffs. And the Bengals closing out a year where we're all excited for year 2 of Joe Burrow when he's back from injury.
That, so. I mean, their team is already looking forward to next year.
Right.
Yeah. And their fans are like, yeah, we don't care. Let's go. Care. Let's get on to the next.
Let's get Joe Burrow healthy and see where this goes.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Now the Steelers can get the 2 seed with the win, but they're going out with the Ben Roethlisberger. He's done. Mason Rudolph will be in at quarterback as they give Roethlisberger a break. They have not had a bye since week 4, so this is technically a bye for the Steelers. But the Cleveland Browns need a win. They are 10-5 too, and they need a win to get in. And you know, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again in case you missed it. I'm a Steeler fan, but on the flip side of this, I don't want the story to end for the Browns. I thought they had a good enough year to make the playoffs. They have suffered. Their fan base has suffered. I really want them to make the postseason.
Yeah,
I really do.
The other thing to keep an eye on is whether or not this team can actually play.
Yeah, that's true.
There's some COVID.
Yeah.
COVID is going through their organization right now.
That's right.
And now it's getting to a point where it's almost, I guess, you know, could they push this game off to a Tuesday one last time?
Yeah, there's two more cases for the Browns?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. They had that problem last week with the Jets where there was some COVID, and they should have, there was people who thought maybe that game should have been rescheduled, but they didn't, and they didn't play. They played anyway.
Know what the NFL
win.
Will say. The NFL will be like, no, you're playing.
Done with that.
Just play.
Yeah, exactly. Minnesota at Detroit. Now, if there's a game you can just skip, it's this one.
Yeah.
Neither of these teams are going anywhere. So there's no real playoff implications on the line for any one of these two teams. But nevertheless, it's still Minnesota-Detroit. All right, I can't say it. Dalvin Cook's not playing. His father passed away. The Vikings have lost 3 in a row. Detroit's terrible. There's nowhere to go with this one. Now, this is another game on the schedule that's like Minnesota-Detroit, but I'm actually curious. Patriots and Jets. And the reason I'm curious is because the Patriots are in trouble, right? They're a mess.
Right.
They've lost 3 in a row. They're not. They haven't even scored. They can't score. The Jets have won 2 straight. Do the Patriots just mail this one in and go, you know what? Screw it. We're done.
I don't think they do.
I don't even want to do this. I'm done. Stupid. Or do they say,
Belichick,
we're not
doing
losing
that
to the Jets? No, Belichick won't do it. But I'm wondering if the Patriots are just like, we're tired, we're done, we had a bad year,
yeah,
let's finish this out.
I don't know. I think they go out there because, I mean, you know,
do they Belichick, kill the Jets?
I think they should.
They can't score.
I don't. Okay, well, I'll throw something else at you. If the Jets do find a way to win this game, they're ending the season, what, on a 3-game win streak?
Right.
Does Adam Gase keep his job?
Oh, God, I hope not. So if you're getting your Jake Asman, right, you go,
I don't want to think that way, but...
No, yeah, you don't want the momentum speech from the owner, right? Well, we ended on a good momentum. Yeah. Let's see where this goes.
Just took us a while to figure things out. Yeah, let's right. go. Let's usher that out there one more year.
No. But just curious to see where this game goes. Dallas versus New York. This is one of those games that's got zillions of fun to it, right?
I mean, well, this is... Yeah, I mean, it's a must-win for both.
Both teams. Here's how it would work for both teams. The winner of this game, no matter who it is, needs Washington to lose Sunday night.
Yep.
That's it. Doesn't matter that the Giants are a game behind Dallas and Washington. The Giants win, they wait to see what happens Sunday night. Dallas wins, they wait to see what happens on Sunday night. If Washington wins, neither one of them are going to the playoffs. So the Cowboys, look, I know the Cowboys haven't played really strong opponents. The 49ers are weak. The Eagles are with the backup quarterback and the Bengals stink. But they've won three in a row and they've averaged 36 points in those three wins. They're rolling along. The Giants, on the flip side, they've lost three straight.
Yeah,
not only they've lost three straight, they can't score.
They look like they had turned their season around. They're actually in the lead of the division at one point.
Yep.
And then now it's back to them being the Giants.
And have only scored 26 points total in those three losses.
Not a good look.
So Dallas's offense is clicking right now, and the Giants can't put it in the end zone or kick it through the upright. So, but again, it's probably one of the more important games in terms of playoff implications because this is essentially a playoff game. We'll go through the schedule, but this is really one of the only ones, I think it is the only one, where it's win or go home.
Yep.
That's it. Whoever loses this has no chance of making the playoffs, but the winner still has an outside chance.
And the really fun thing about this game, too, whoever the winner is, they're going to ask their fans to become Eagles fans.
Absolutely. Wait, yeah, exactly. Whoever wins this game, become Eagle fans, and then you're going to feel that Sunday night with the Washington, Philadelphia. You'll be like, and they're really nervous in Dallas or New York.
Yes.
Whoever wins this game. So this is very important. Atlanta versus Tampa Bay. The Falcons closing out the season. They are 4-11. Raheem Morris says he feels like his team is competitive, and he's probably right. They've been in a lot of tight losses. They've lost four in a row, but all of those four losses have been pretty close, including missing a field goal that would have sent it in overtime. But the Buccaneers have been the story. We missed this in the 2020. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. He's got the team in the playoffs. A win over the Falcons, and they'd be 11-5.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, this guy, 43 years old, new place, still the same numbers and records. Fantastic.
And they had the fifth seed pretty much locked up, right?
Yes, they I think they need a win to get it. But they also can get it with a loss in other combinations. But that's the team that plays the NFC East.
Yes.
So if you are the fifth seed, you get to play a lousy team coming out of the East.
Yeah.
So there's something about that, I guess, that would make you want to strive for that. All right, we'll come back and we'll wrap up the rest of the games that will start in the late afternoon plus Sunday night as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1988, the Fog Bowl. We go back on Throwback Thursday. This is New Order. I thought it was Depeche Mode, but because all he sounds like this in the 80s remind me of Depeche Mode. All right, this is 1988. So what's the name of this song?
True Faith.
True Faith, okay. So I like when we play a little Jukebox Thursday, Throwback Thursday. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows when it's time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection. Find the wiper blade that's right for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we continue the NFL schedule. These are the later afternoon games. Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. Is it my perception, but the Bears have turned it around a bit and are now the seventh seed in the NFC. They've won three straight.
Nah, I refuse to believe that.
They are heading to the playoffs.
Well, they need a win to get in.
They need a win, but they could get into the playoffs. So the Packers have the one seed at 12-3 right now. Can they lose it, Nyland? I think they would own the tiebreaker against the Saints.
I think so. I think so.
So it doesn't really matter. The Bears are currently in right now. A win gets them in.
But no,
I think they get a win, and they could lose in an Arizona loss.
They can actually. Green Bay does not have the number one.
Oh,
seed.
Oh, doesn't have the number one seed
they,
yet.
They don't have the locked up. So, I mean, they could. I think they have the tiebreaker over the Saints, but I think they could lose it to the Seahawks.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, because the Seahawks are 11-4 as well.
Yeah,
that's right. So the Bears have the seventh seed. Arizona is 8. Both are 8-7. I think the Bears win the tiebreaker.
So they got to play.
So they've got to beat Green Bay, but even if they lose, if Arizona loses to Seattle, I think,
right.
they would be essentially the seventh seed. So the Bears have a lot to play for. Las Vegas and Denver. Neither one of these teams have anything to play for. Vegas blew it. They're on a three-game losing skid, have lost five of their last six. A team that was headed right towards the postseason have just spiraled out of control and are now out of contention at 7-8. Too bad. Because that was a fun team for a while, and now they're not fun anymore. And Denver has been a team that has been beset with different kind of storylines, but they have lost four of their last five, so who cares? Just wrap up the season and get out of our way, because we're all heading to the playoffs except you two.
We're done with them now, right?
Yeah, we're done. So have fun. Close it out and be gone. Indianapolis facing Jacksonville. Many of you not remember this, but Jacksonville beat Indianapolis in week one.
Yeah.
Right? They beat Phillip Rivers in week one. Jacksonville has not won since. They've lost 14 in a row. Indianapolis fighting with Tennessee for the top spot in the AFC South. Both teams are 10-5. But if you lose, you become 10-6, and you're actually in danger of not making the playoffs. So be very careful.
And you know what? They can go ahead and win this game.
Yeah.
Because Jacksonville has the number one draft pick locked in. So
yeah. Wouldn't that be weird? That would be one of those Elias Sports Bureau things where it's like, find me the team with two victories, and both of those victories came against one team. Like, we played them at the beginning of the season and the end of the season, and that was the only team.
And is it not poetic that a book ends the season?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So be careful, Colts. You don't want to be messing around with the playoffs. So beat Jacksonville and be done with it. Kansas City against the Chargers. You're a Chargers fan. You've got to feel thrilled with how this guy has been playing, Justin Herbert. It has been such a blast.
This is a win season.
4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns.
The only bummer is I'm kind of upset that they're 6-9. You know, and there's a good chance for them to go 7-9 with Mahomes sitting this weekend.
Right, Mahomes is sitting out, yep.
They can go 7-9. They're kind of in draft wasteland.
Right, middle of the pack.
Yeah,
you know,
so you're choosing somewhere in the teens. I mean, you're going to get a decent pick, but honestly, for me, it's this is a winning season because I hate to say it, but I'm glad the doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to say it that way,
bizarre
but
story.
Yeah, 2020. It only can happen in 2020,
it's like
right?
He did it on purpose. It was so weird. It's like,
maybe he did. I don't know, but I mean. Because of that, we got to see Justin Herbert and the rise of Justin Herbert, and it's been nothing short of fantastic.
Yeah, the good news is that, as I've said many times, look, everybody wants an edge rusher and an offensive tackle and all those things, but the one reason you want a top five pick is for quarterback. You already got yours. You got your guy.
Yeah,
he's
great.
And he's good. Like we said earlier, Patrick Mahomes is sitting out. Chiefs have nothing to play for. They've already got the one seed wrapped up. They've won 10 straight. They're 14-1.
I mean, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, I think they're playing for bonuses right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Arizona and Los Angeles, as we mentioned before, the Cardinals are 8-7,
good
but
game.
They are on the outside looking in. They need a win. They also need a win in a Bears loss because they did check at the Bears due on the tiebreaker. Kyler Murray is going to play despite some injuries. He's going to go out there and play. It's a must-win game for the Cardinals. It's not a must-win game for the Rams, but the Rams have got a Jared Goff issue. Heading in with the thumb injury, so the entire focus of this game should be on Arizona and Arizona's attempt to make the playoffs and see what happens.
Goff's out, right?
Yeah, Goff should be out.
Yeah, he had surgery.
I don't see why not. He's out for the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So you can't throw with a broken thumb. Seattle against San Francisco. Now, this is Seattle. You're right. Seattle can still get a one seed, so they got stuff to play for here. But in the end, it's not
this
a matchup.
I think maybe the positive spin would be, Richard Sherman going against his former team, but I don't even think Sherman's out, right?
Yeah,
isn't he out with an Achilles injury?
So this is not, if you get this game, you don't go, yeah, I'm going to watch this because the Seahawks can be the one seed if a bunch of other things happen.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
No.
Yeah, this
it's
is
not.
A game they should win. Even if they don't, it doesn't matter. You know, so. New Orleans against Carolina. The Saints,
This is exactly like Seahawks and Niners.
Right. Still have a chance for the one seed if the Packers should lose. We'll see, I guess. I mean, that's about it. They're playing at the same time, so it's not like you can watch that and
right.
You just have to keep an eye. If you're a Saints fan, keep an eye on the Packers game. Look, it's weird because in normal circumstances, we would be talking about, hey, you want the, if you're a two seed, why bother? You're getting a bye too, but only one team is getting a bye now, so it is important to try to get the one seed. You need to get the week off. Carolina's just closing it out in his first year under Matt Rhule.
And not a bad season.
Not a bad season. Yeah, not terrible.
You know, there's some positivity from that.
And look, they're 5-10, and McCaffrey hardly played.
Did he play at all?
Yeah, he played a little bit.
I don't think he did.
But, yeah, it's hard to kind of picture. You know, he's going to miss his 7th straight game and 13th of the season.
Well, I wouldn't bring him back at all anyways.
Yeah, I would not even come close to bringing him back.
Forget about it. You're not going anywhere. What are you going to try to do? Up your draft pick somewhere in the tens? I mean, it doesn't matter. Your season is done.
Be done. Tennessee and Houston. Texans closing out a very, very bad, disappointing year. But nevertheless, the Titans have a ton to play for.
Yeah.
Because the Titans need a win to win the division. Now, they win the division outright. If they win, doesn't matter what the Colts do. They win. They own the tiebreaker against the Colts. So that's set.
The Texans could be spoiled. And I'm curious to see how the Texans respond after J.J. Watt's epic
I agree
rant.
Completely. That's a great angle to this this story is your leading guy, your leader of your team, has just basically gone on record as saying, if you're late for practice, that's a shame. That's shame on you. Forget missing practice. If you're late for practice, you should be disappointed.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's look at it this way. This is one of those weird games where 5-11 is a whole lot better than 4-12.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'd be curious to see how they respond.
Yep. And as I said earlier, the Titans have a lot to play for because you don't want to be in that group of 10-6 that is milling around trying to figure out how the math works.
Yeah.
To get into the playoffs, to win the division.
And then, of course, bring out the all the slide rulers and all the algebra books to figure out how this person got in and that team's out and this one because needed to. Gets too confusing. Just win.
Now, let me make this case, because I think the powers that be flexed the right game into Sunday night.
Yes, they did.
Washington and Philadelphia. Now, it could have been Dallas and the Giants, because as I said earlier, that's the only game on the schedule that, for both teams, it's a playoff game, right? They could have done that. But it may not have been that if Washington had won earlier in the day. You would have been stuck with a Sunday night game between two lousy NFC East teams. They're playing for nothing.
Yeah.
But here's what you get with this game. You get a captivated Dallas audience or a captivated New York audience and a captivated rest of the NFL wondering who exactly is going to be in the NFC East.
Who's
coming out of the NFC
East? Who comes out of garbage?
Right. Because you set it up that Dallas wins or New York wins, they're waiting on the result of this game. Washington wins, they're in. Washington loses, they're out, and that team is in. It's a great scenario for a Sunday night game when you're wrapping up the entire season to say one of two teams is going to go to the playoffs based on the outcome of this game.
Yep.
And it's not now, the team, both teams that are playing.
I have another angle for you. And NFL, I want you to listen up a little bit here. Post game, regardless of the outcome of the game, post game, just give Alex Smith the comeback player of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great.
No need to have a news article. No need to, have him, do an interview via Skype. Just do it right there on the field. Because if ever there was a year for a clear-cut winner for any award, it's that one.
Absolutely. And that was one of the good things about the NFL this season was seeing Alex Smith on a field and going, how in the world does this happen? This is unbelievable. I really don't think people understand the magnitude of that injury and how it almost killed the guy. And yet he managed to return to an NFL level with that leg injury. Unreal. All right, Matt Mershell is going to join us, one of our favorite college football guys. We're going to preview the Alabama-Notre Dame game, the Clemson-Ohio State game. The two national semifinals will be played on Friday. That's coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. It's a throwback Thursday, 1988. We go back to, this is the Pet Shop Boys. The fog game on this date in 1988 between the Bears and the Eagles. Won by the Bears, but nobody could see. So I don't know how you did it even happen. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Matt Mershell joins us, Orlando Sentinel. We'll talk some college football. Friday, the two semifinal games, Alabama-Notre Dame, Ohio State-Clemson, will be in the Sugar Bowl afterwards. Let's get a preview of both of those from Matt. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Happy New Year to you. Happy holidays. So we get these semifinal games. I'm just going to ask you a question right off the bat. Give me your opinion of the two teams I'm kind of thinking about here. Notre Dame and Ohio State. We know the line about Notre Dame. They get to the big stage and they fall apart, and everybody just wonders how they got there in the first place. And then there's Ohio State, who's only played six games. People wondering how they get, you know, should they even get in this year? Which program you think is under that kind of pressure going into the national semifinals?
You know, I think probably Notre Dame a little bit more. I mean, you know, you mentioned the fact that they, when they get to that big stage, you know, over the last, you know, couple of years, last decade or so, you know, they haven't really done well. You know, they struggled. And I think that's something that's concerning. If you look at what Notre Dame has done as a program over its, you know, 132-year history, I mean, they've been basically, they've had some of the biggest games in college football, and they've done really well in them, and they just haven't been able to do that. So I think for Brian Kelly, at least, you know, when you think about the Notre Dame coaches that come before him, the Lou Holtzes, the Ara Parseghians, you know, Newt Rockneys, those guys all performed well in those big games. He's got to find a way to get that kind of monkey off his back. I mean, he's got to go out there and do something a little bit better and help out his situation to try to get a win there. So it's not going to be easy. I mean, again, this is, you know, we're talking about an Alabama team that's number one team in the country, has one of the most dynamic offenses in the country, and is, you know, probably on course to playing in the national championship. So it's going to take a lot more for him, I think, and for this Notre Dame team to make their case this weekend.
It's kind of, you look at Notre Dame and you go back to November, and, you know, when Clemson played them without Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei still had over 400 passing yards. Trevor Lawrence demolished them in the ACC championship. This is an amazing Alabama offense, as you mentioned. They can beat you throwing the ball. Najee Harris will run over you. It's hard to see what Notre Dame could do defensively. Can they do something defensively?
Well, yeah. You know, I think the challenge for them is they're going to have to find a way to disrupt Mac Jones. They got to make sure that they get to him, force him to, you know, make some mistakes, make him uncomfortable, which really is the biggest challenge ever, because we haven't seen him really kind of go through that. You know, they're going to have to make sure that they can contain the big play. They can't give up those big scoring opportunities that Alabama is used to doing. I mean, and again, you know, you mentioned stopping Najee Harris, making sure he doesn't have that big game, much like he did in the SEC championship game where he scored, you know, five touchdowns. They've got to limit, you know, Devontae Smith. I mean, they've got to make sure that they don't, you know, let him go free and have tons of opportunities. So it's a three-headed, you know, monster really to deal with. And it's going to be tough for them, because outside of Clemson, you know, maybe North Carolina is the closest team that resembles this idea of having these many weapons on offense that they've played so far this year. So that's going to be the challenge. I think what they have to do is, it's more about offense. I think they have to kind of control the football. They have to control the clock. If they can go out there and do what they do, run the football, you know, use Ian Book's arm, his legs as well, maybe don't, you know, try to, you know, they're not going to score quickly, but if you go 3, 4, 5 minutes on offense, you know, keep Alabama's offense on the sidelines, I think that's going to help you. They've got to play, like we talked about, almost done. You've got to play that perfect game. You can't give up any mistakes. You can't have any mistakes, and you can't let them take advantage of those big plays.
Mac Jones, you know, a lot of people, this has only been a shortened season to see what he can do. We had a full boat of A.J. McCarron years ago. We saw the Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa era at Alabama. But for this 1 year, where is Mac Jones in this sort of hierarchy of Alabama quarterbacks?
Well, I think he depends on the next couple, couple
game
weeks.
Or two, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if he wins, Friday and they win, beat Notre Dame, and then they get to the national championship game, and he wins the national championship, well, he's going to be right there among some of the best, Alabama quarterbacks, which is it kind of almost, when you think about his story, it's really incredible. I mean, he's a guy that, no one was really kind of talking about because Tua was there, Tua Tagovailoa, so people thought, oh, he's the backup, the perennial backup. He steps up. He has this big year. Really kind of, I think really utilized that Steve Sarkisian offense that they put in there. He saw what he's been able to do, and it's an incredible story for a guy. It's very similar to when we talk. We look at a guy like Kyle Trask at Florida, very similar path. A guy who wasn't expected to be the main guy there. All of a sudden, Mac's there, and he's going to have that opportunity to put his name up there with some of the greats in Alabama history. So I think, to me, his story isn't finished yet. His story will be written within the next couple games.
Ian Book, on the flip side, if we realize that maybe Alabama can't go punch for punch with the offense, Notre Dame can't go punch for punch with Alabama offensively, but Ian Book can do a couple of things. What are those things that he can do?
Well, one of the things is he's got not only just a strong arm, but he's also got great vision downfield. He's able to utilize the tight ends. Notre Dame's one of the few teams in the country that has some really tall, lengthy tight ends that can also catch the football. He's also a guy that can run with the football. When there's pressure, when a team kind of decides to blitz him, he's got that ability to scramble out of the pocket. He can kind of use his legs to make plays. He's a, you hear the word gutty used all the time, but he's one of those gutty type of quarterbacks. He's an old school quarterback. He's going to go out there and run around. He's going to try to find a way to will his team to get that win. And I think you've seen that time and time again. You saw that in that, overtime win over Clemson early in the year. He was scrambling around. He made those plays. Even when he makes a mistake, he's able to come back on the next play and try to do something to kind of make up for that. So I think, that's an X factor that, that Alabama's going to have to watch out for, because he's a guy who really will find a way to kind of make those plays with his legs. He won't just sit back in the pocket and throw the ball downfield all the time. He can, but he's a guy that's going to try to use all his assets that he can to try to find a way to get a win.
All right, well, let's go to the Sugar Bowl, the later game of the semifinals. And, these teams played a classic last year. The names are kind of same. So is there any expectation that we might get a classic in this one?
Oh, I think so. Before we get into this game, look at the back and forth, the talking back and forth, the disrespect factor that Ohio State is using this year. The fact that Dabo Swinney, ranked Ohio State, 11th in his coaches poll. Right now, Ryan Day going into this game has got to be playing that card, that disrespect card really heavily, because I think he feels like, going into the postseason, that the fans, the critics, tons of people were saying this team didn't deserve to be there. They didn't play a full schedule. They only played six games. They needed the Big Ten's help to get to this point. There's a big disrespect card, and I think they're going to go in there and use that chip on their shoulder, and they're going to try to find a way to win this game. Plus the fact, as you mentioned, last year's game, they felt like they had that game in control, and then they have that one, play, the fumble at the, towards the end of the game that really kind of cost them an opportunity to win it, and eventually Clemson went on to win the game. So there's a lot there for Ohio State. They want to come into this game, and they want to make a big statement, and they want to prove to people that they deserve to be here, not just because of the fact that they got into the Big Ten. They want to show everyone that they deserve the opportunity to win this game, and it's going to be interesting to see how that play out. Especially a team that's only played six games. Clemson's gone the whole season. Will Ohio State be a little fresher in some regards, because of the fact they haven't only played six games? That's going to be some of the things I'm looking forward to going into the game.
Yeah, that is an interesting angle to it, and I don't know how much play it's getting in the previews, but yeah, this is Ohio State's seventh game. I would think a seventh game for a team is better than a team that's playing 12th.
Yeah, very much so. And again, you're going to have some players who were on COVID, who were quarantined due to COVID that missed the Big Ten championship because of, some of the rules changes by the Big Ten. They're going to be allowed to play in this game. And those guys have been, maybe not on the field for a couple weeks, two or three weeks. So they get an opportunity to be fresher as well. So you get some fresh legs there. So I think in some regards, I think it's going to be interesting to see that. And I know that's, they've also lost a couple games due to COVID as well. So they're going to be a much fresher team in a lot of ways than Clemson is. But, you look at what Dabo Swinney has done with his program over the years. I don't think that's going to be a concern so much for him. They know they've got Trevor Lawrence there. They know they've got Travis Etienne. Their concern is making sure defensively they can continue to do things they've done all season long. They've got to continue to put pressure on the quarterback. They got to do what they did last year, get pressure on Justin Fields. They got to make sure that they kind of make him one-dimensional. And they got to focus on the fact that, you know, they can't let the distraction of, you know, Ohio State's chip on the shoulder. They can't kind of get involved in that and let it get chippy. They're one game away from getting back to the national championship, and I think that's what Dabo wants to get the team to.
We see Justin Fields, and you mentioned the kind of the dual aspect of it, making him one-dimensional. He can run. Do they use him to run the ball a lot this season?
Yeah, I think at times. I think because of the fact that they were missing players at key times on offense, I think he had to do a lot more. I think that's why when you look at some of his stats this year, he's not as strong as he was in the past. I think, you know, he had to pick up a little bit more than he probably would have liked to have done. You know, and I think also, too, maybe there was a pressure factor that he felt like, you know, he had to do a little bit more. I mean, if you look at the stats in the Big Ten Championship, it wasn't a great game, you know. I mean, he struggled. He turned the ball over a couple times, you know, and those are concerns if you're Ryan Day. You know, again, you don't want your quarterback to feel like he has to do it all. I mean, there's some talented, you know, running backs on that team. They've got talented receivers. I think because they lost some guys on the offensive line because of COVID and things like that, I think there was, you know, more pressure for him than he was forced to maybe get out of the pocket more than he would have liked to. Again, you hope with everyone being back healthy that maybe he's got an opportunity to play the kind of style he wants to play. He's familiar in this game. He's been in these kind of big games now. It shouldn't be any factor of nerves or anything like that. It should be more about going out there and doing the best he can.
We've seen Clemson go to these playoffs with great quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and now Trevor Lawrence, but defense has been a real key for Dabo Swinney. I know COVID has sort of altered some numbers a bit, but they're saying this is one of the best defensive teams, defensive fronts Dabo has had. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it has been. You know, I mean, I think he's, you know, again, COVID has really impacted some of these stats. I mean, you look at the fact that they've had guys come in and out, even in that Notre Dame loss, you know, back in November or October. You know, they were down a couple defensive players, you know, up front, and I think that's kind of what hurts them a little bit. But this is what Dabo does and Brent Venables does. You know, they go out and they recruit these kind of players, and, you know, guys who would be playing starting right now for most teams are second or third teamers at Clemson, and that's, it's very similar to what happens at, you know, Alabama. You know, these are guys ready to go, so when someone goes down, they step up, and they're these, like, elite players. So I don't see Clemson's defense, you know, going down anytime soon. I think they'll continue to recruit those kind of players, and they continue to develop them, and that's been the key for them, because as great as the quarterback play has been and the running back play, it's been that defensive front. It's been the pressure they've been able to put on teams. I think that's the key to success for Clemson.
All right, Matt Burchell, Orlando Sentinel. Love having you on, my friend. Hope to catch you up with the national championship game preview. Appreciate it, my man.
No problem. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Matt Burchell, Orlando Sentinel, talking some college football. We love having Matt on. He's good stuff. On our Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Well, it is New Year's Eve. Maybe tonight you'll have some sort of festivities at your home to celebrate 2020 being eliminated and 2021 coming into focus. And if you overeat, you overindulge, which you probably will, you're going to need some Nauzene. I was telling you yesterday, one of my family traditions is to get a bunch of appetizers, and that's what we have for dinner. We just lay it all out. It's an all night, all day, grab and go kind of thing. We've been doing it for years. It's kind of fun, but it's not really great on your tummy. So Nauzene helps, available in the digestive section of most leading retailers. Wild cherry flavor, quick dissolving chewable tablets will relieve that upset stomach and nausea that you will get from that overindulging feeling. Their 4-minute formula quickly relieves that stomach discomfort. And again, you get the non-drowsy, no aspirin, no caffeine or antihistamines. And that note, that non-chalky medicinal flavor that you get from other digestive aids. Nauzene, again, available in the digestive sector of most leading retailers. Check it out. All right, we'll continue some thoughts on the college football playoffs as we continue on Wake Up Call.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home loan? Rocket can. Real quick, I wanted to bring this up and I kind of forgot, so forgive me. It's a Throwback Thursday, 1988. We're remembering the Fog Bowl in Chicago, 20-12 Bears win, but nobody could see. Last night, kind of, there was some history made in the NBA. Becky Hammon took over the Spurs.
Yes.
After Greg Popovich got ejected. She becomes the first woman to be a head coach of an NBA team. She took over the head coaching duties of that team. They lost to the Lakers, but still, that's pretty awesome. This is just me now. This is just me speculating. I think Greg Popovich did this on purpose.
I was going to say the same exact thing to you. Dad, do you think he has moments like this planned?
I think he does. I think he knows that he loves Becky Hammon for her basketball knowledge. I think he has amazing respect for her. I think he wants to see her as a head coach. I think he would vouch for her in any interview she ever has. Yeah. He has publicly said that. He's like, this woman knows a lot about basketball. In basketball, whether it's played by men or women, is still the same game, technically, the X's and O's.
Yep.
And I just think he said, you know what? Because he's done this kind of – I know he's done this kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, and because you know what's funny? He has the kind of clout that you wouldn't come – this doesn't come across gimmicky.
Right, exactly. I think he wanted to give her this. And look, she's earned it. She went to the Summer League a couple of years ago, and she led that Spurs – like basically rookie team, summer league team, to a championship in Las Vegas. She guided them to the title of the tournament. And I was just saying, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Popovich was angry and then said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go nuts and get kicked out of the way. I know this guy. If I say this, I know these refs. I know that individual. I know he's got a short fuse. I'm just going to get out of here. I'm going to let Becky take this one.
That's so funny because I literally was thinking the same thing. That was like, I wouldn't put it past Pop that he did this on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So good for her. I like her a lot. I think she's really smart with hoops. I would love to see her be a head coach. It's not a woke thing. It's not. I mean, I think she earns it. I think she's been an assistant there for a long time.
Yeah.
And look, and she is not a hire for, you know, because of political correctness. She really knows basketball. She's one of the top female basketball players of all time.
No, there's no Rooney Rule in the NBA.
There's no. Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad we were thinking on the same page with Pop, because I think that's kind of what happened last night.
That's a Pop thing to do.
Yeah. Enjoy your New Year's Eve, and we'll be back on Monday. I hope you have a great New Year's celebration this weekend as we ring in 2021. Jake Asman Show coming up next, Sports Map Radio.